What's up, fucker?
What's up, fucker?
Oh, that was a hot one today. Nice.
Thanks, bud.
You sound like you were announcing soccer.
Yeah. What's up, fucker? Golazo!
Everyone's going crazy.
Everyone ripped off their shirts for what's up, fuckers. And it's on their chest say fuckers. Well, it just says fuckers like 1 million times in the crowd.
Or like one guy has the F and the guy next to him has the U.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
A million groups of friends spelling out fuckers. Only some people, including sup.
Yeah.
Just a sea of fuckers.
That would be tight. A sea of fuckers.
Yeah, this one is really weird and short.
This is an odd one.
Did it feel short?
I don't know. I don't think it felt short to me, but it did. It was kind of like less punchy than the other ones.
Yeah. It just kind of wrapped up real quick, you know?
Last one was weird too. We're in a weird stretch of King of the Hill episodes. It did have that weird ending. We'll get to that. We are talking today about season 2, episode 3, The Arrowhead. It's the 15th episode.
Speaking of arrowheads, one time me and Kat Ramczynski and Maggie May were at a thrift store, and I found an arrowhead in the parking lot, and I started talking like Harry Carey and just making announcements. Like pretending to make announcements over the store's intercom at the thrift store about an arrowhead that was found in the parking lot. And like, it's one of my favorite things that I think of, just saying arrowhead like Harry Carey. Arrowhead. Did somebody lose an arrowhead in the parking lot? with like a vest on up at the front of the thrift store.
I'm not sure I've ever found an arrowhead, but this is like a Texas.
It was weird. Sure. It was just in the parking lot of Savers on Lamar, man.
Wow.
Or Burn It, I mean, the old one by the freaky cat and kid store.
The Burn It Savers was a ancient
thrift
respected site.
Mecca.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this used to be a thing like in school all the time. They'd show you an arrowhead. It was just like a lore of that part of the country that they're laying around everywhere.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I just don't know why there was one in the parking lot of the Savers.
That was real weird.
Isn't that weird? It was just on the ground.
That's just one of those things you'll never know.
Yeah. One time I found a jelly bean and I thought it was a rock and I kept it in my pocket and I even like licked it before I put it in my pocket to make sure it was a rock, and it definitely checked out to be a rock, and then later on it had warmed up in my pocket and it was in fact a large jelly bean.
Yeah, that's on you, that one.
That's on me real bad, bud. Yeah.
All right. This episode aired first October 19th, 1987. Was written by Jonathan Albell and
Glenn Berg.
Who's Glenn Berg?
Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, of course.
These guys, they're a writing team. Jonathan Abel and Glenn Berg are a writing team, and they're responsible for the SpongeBob movie and the Kung Fu Panda franchise.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's huge.
They're very successful. And also they wrote a bunch of really amazing, iconic episodes of King of the Hill.
That's great. That's really interesting. That's huge. I was reading about Iran for my other podcast, and this thing happened when Trump killed General Soleimani, the Iranian general. There was this like person in the Iranian government that was quoted as responding to it, and he was like, you know, he said, you know, what could we possibly do in return? In the United States, they don't have heroes. Who would we kill, Spider-Man or SpongeBob? And he's so right.
Yeah. Spider-Man or SpongeBob?
If they murked SpongeBob, then people would straight up start World War III over here.
Yeah, we would burn it down. I would.
I was just thinking how wild it was that guy from Mr. Show like voices SpongeBob, and then now that geopolitical reference, he's on the world stage in a sense, you know?
Yeah. That's really weird. Tom Kenny is the guy you're thinking of.
Right.
Yeah. What's it? Ted something McKenzie. Never mind.
Who knows?
The comic that's like that he like pretends to have the fucking grocery cart, and he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And Bob and David are like, riff, man, riff. I can't remember his name. Kedzie Matthews.
Okay.
K-E-D-Z-Y. But these two guys, Jonathan Abel and Glenn Berg, wrote West East Side Story, Peggy the Boggle Champ, Meet the Manger Babies.
Oh, that's going to be a good one when we get to it.
Revenge of the Ludafisk.
Oh, I love that one.
Iconic. And Cotton's Plot.
Crazy. All right, cool.
They wrote more than that, but those are like the really, really the ones that stand out to me.
That makes sense, because this episode does fit a lot of like conventions of the show.
As opposed to the last one, this one really does feel like King of the Hill. The last one felt like we were in a weird universe, right?
It did feel like they made a movie. One. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into it. It starts off with Hank showing off his new walk-behind mower, which is a John Deere 518R or some shit. He's showing the guys in the alley, and then Dale brings Joseph over, and he's showing him, like, look, it comes with 5 horsepower and these tines of some kind, something called super lug tires. And he goes, and if I'm not mistaken, it comes with a hat. Can I have it? And Hank gives him the hat. It's like a green John Deere hat, which he switches out onto his head. Switches out his orange hat. Hank suddenly realizes, hey, you know what? Bobby should see this too. So he yells into the house where Bobby and Peggy are watching television. Peggy is explaining British comedy to him.
Like, it's educational and it's going to make him like cultured, not because Peggy is a fan of British comedy.
Yeah, because her thing this whole episode is that she's educating Bobby and like filling his head with knowledge. It's really weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And like this episode really plays on her ego, like as an educator, you know?
Yeah.
Like makes like she really gets put in her place a little bit. But it's weird that she's just like, let's watch PBS and you'll get cultured watching British comedy.
She says, you can learn a lot from PBS thanks to viewers like me.
And then they're watching it, and there's like some guy saying something in an accent, and Bobby goes, that man is wearing a dress. And Peggy goes, exactly.
Yeah, it's supposed to be sophisticated, which is a really interesting thing.
My favorite is they cut back to it, and the guy that's in the dress goes, oh no, there's a run in my stocking. And Bobby just goes,
yeah, because it is.
He like doesn't know if he's supposed to laugh or not.
Also, like, is British comedy sophisticated, or is that just a thing that Americans like?
That's just a thing that Americans think. That's what I'm like. They're watching like Fawlty Towers or some shit,
right?
You know, like they're just watching some fucking smut, and she thinks it's good because it's on PBS. But they just showed BBC shows on PBS in the 90s, you know. So it's just like. That's what I was watching, but it's not like teaching you to be like educated or cultured. I mean, I guess if you, I don't know. Peggy is doing it for not the right reasons, I don't think.
Yeah, she's definitely, it's not like you don't.
Like I said, it's not because she's a fan. you know? Yeah.
I think it is Fawlty Towers. They say it at some point.
Okay.
So then Hank kind of goes like, all right, Bobby's just going to have to watch the tape. And Boomhauer is indeed taping with one of those old over-the-shoulder cameras.
The machine for the first time.
Yeah.
And he immediately breaks it.
Yeah, he runs over something in the yard, and it's broken, and he comes inside, and he goes, Made in America can't just be a marketing gimmick like Dolphin Safe. It should mean something.
It has to stand for something.
He's explaining, this dang rock busted up my rototiller.
And Peggy goes, that is not a rock. That is an arrowhead.
And they start talking about the arrowhead, and Bobby sort of explains that he learned in school that you don't call them Indians anymore. Because she says, that's an Indian arrowhead.
Yeah.
And he says, you don't call them Indians anymore. You call them Native Americans. That's like saying same-sex partner instead of...
And then they go, oh, Bobby!
What was he going to say? Like a gay married?
Instead of gay. I think. And they're like, no! Don't even say it!
Yeah. Hank is then later sifting through the yard, and he finds another artifact. It's like this little T-shaped...
With a hole drilled through it.
Yeah. And he's got it. He takes it into the garage and he's hanging it from the chain that you used to pull the light bulb on.
In the garage. Yeah. It's going to be the chain pull now, this ancient artifact.
But I can't remember who he's talking to. He's talking to somebody.
Joseph and Bobby.
Oh, right. And he's saying like, it's a tool. I know about tools.
And then he just goes to the most brutal fucking thing. He's like, they probably used it to jam it into the back of a warrior's skull.
Yeah, he says, jam it into the back of a white man's skull.
Oh, white man's skull.
Twisted, and like the holes where the blood comes out.
Yeah. Because it looks like one of the, like a thing that you use to sap a tree.
Yeah. Which is weird because he's saying it's that, and then he's not using it for that at all. He's using it as a like a weight,
as a light pole.
Yeah,
a very innocent use.
So then he goes to the Gribble house. He decides that he wants to know what this is for. Nancy answers in a towel. And
he's
like,
got a lot of balls doing this.
For real,
he fucking shows up to Dale's to talk to John Redcorn.
But is he wrong?
No, he knows where he is, but like, just wait till he's at his trailer, dude.
Yeah.
Just wait till he's at his trailer.
Nancy answers in a towel.
And yeah, and her hair is all fucked up.
Clearly mid fucking.
Yeah.
She says, sorry, Shug, Dale's at work. Hank's like, yeah. I'm not looking for Dale. I'm looking for John Redcorn. And they both just sort of like, stare at each other for a very fun, awkward, long beat. And then Nancy goes, John Redcorn, it's for you. And he comes out also in Hank a towel.
Oh, hello, Hank. Nancy needed a therapeutic massage.
For her migraines.
Yeah, a massage of her vagina.
And he's like also wearing a towel. So that's not how getting a massage works.
He's also
Hank shows him the tool. John Redcorn explains it's a tool for straightening the shaft of an arrow.
Well, first Hank goes, I found this Indian Native American tool. they cut to John Redcorn and he makes a little face.
Hank so he explains to him it's for straightening a shaft of an arrow, and Hank goes, in a pinch,
yeah,
though,
you would like soak the wood and then you would just pull it through that hole.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Wait, I've seen it on like those shows, you know, the survival shows and stuff.
Oh, this is real? Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you soak branches and then it's like this T thing that you can grip onto, you know, like you would hook your fingers around that way and your thumb underneath. And then you can just pull the stick through it and it would straighten a bowed branch.
Oh, wow.
And they would just do that until it was dry. And then you had a motherfucking arrow.
Damn. Okay, yep. Cool. That's good to know.
Pretty cool shit. Yeah. And also, I'm a Texas history tour guide.
Oh, that makes sense.
I love this shit, Jake. You forget.
We're going to need to remember pretty soon. As soon as we're all living in the woods again. Let me tell you what. So Hank then goes, yeah, but in a pinch, you could jam it into someone's brainstem, right? And John Redcorn's like, yes, but that is true of almost any tool.
Yeah. And then he tells him he could, like, he's like, well, what can I get if I sold it, you know? And he's like, think about what you're doing, Hank. You know, but Hank just wants the money. And he's like, I guess like $50 at a museum.
Yeah. And he really just wants 50 bucks real bad.
It's so weird. He is a man with a job and a home that he owns. Yeah. And he's like fiending real hard to get rid of these artifacts that he found.
Hank goes, I could get a new rototiller with 50 bucks.
Oh, he's just pissed off because the arrowhead broke his rototiller.
Yeah, it's all about the rototiller at the end of the day.
He's so selfish.
Redcorn's like, it's priceless to my people. He goes,
and he's like, cool, tight, 50 bucks.
And then John Redcorn goes, this is kind of a weird one. He goes, it is wrong to take what belongs to another person. And then Nancy's like, John Redcorn. So implying, like, you know, he's taking Nancy.
And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, bye.
Food for thought.
Forget I said anything. I'm going to go fuck Dale's wife.
Hank is then on a college campus, clearly. There's reggae playing.
So funny.
He's so angry. A guy, like a white hippie kid, comes up to him with a petition to legalize hemp, and he's explaining. Hank is like, what is that? And he goes, it's a cheap fiber that can be used to make all sorts of things. And Hank goes, typical government overregulation. Why wouldn't they legalize this stuff? Which is a really good point, actually, that like a guy like Hank should have felt that way in the 90s and didn't, you know?
Yeah.
But eventually, I think a lot of old right-wing people did kind of come around to that shit.
They have. Well, especially since their bodies started decaying and they were like, oh, this stuff rules. Yeah, you like it now, huh? Like old creaky bones. is your healthcare system collapsing around you? And all you can do is rub weed on your bones.
Yeah. So the guy eventually answers a question. He's like, why wouldn't they legalize this stuff? And he sort of laughs and goes, well, it's basically marijuana.
And then Hank goes, boo.
Yeah, because this is before he's ever smoked marijuana. That'll happen in a future episode.
I can't wait.
Eventually, he comes upon this professor who's an archaeologist who's teaching
piece
class.
Of shit.
He sucks.
Like dusty brown blonde hair with like the fucking Matt Damon cut, you know, like the middle part. The wireframe glasses, like just a real fucking smug dude.
Yeah, he's a douche. He's explaining like something, I think it's pretty clearly like Pompeii to his crowd, audience, students. Jesus Christ. A life in the entertainment industry. It's destroyed my brain. one of the students is wearing a Meat is Murder shirt. Another one is a young woman wearing an anti-sexism shirt. It's like got a circle and a slash over the word sexism.
Sexism over her boobies.
Right over her boobs. The class lets out as Hank is coming in. And she
goes, they're tits or whatever. What does she say?
She says, that's right. They're breasts. Big deal. Because he's like reading the shirt and she's like, you know, kind of baited him into reading
it. Gotcha.
This is exactly the way he sees this for sure, is like, that was a fucking trick, you know, yeah. Put it on your shirt. So he brings the arrowhead shaft straightener to this dude. He's asking in the arrowhead, and he's asking him how much he could get for him. And he goes, the arrowhead, you'll get nothing here. Let me do you the honors trash. Of throwing it in the trash.
That's a classic fucking move. When someone wants something, they tell you it's worthless and they throw it away for you. And then they get it out of the trash. Haven't you watched Poirot?
I haven't, but I feel you.
Hank?
Yeah, you're getting grifted.
Yeah, well, maybe he should be watching PBS with Peggy and Bobby, and he would watch a little more Hercule Poirot, and he would know that that is a very common trick.
What is Hercule Poirot?
Agatha Christie.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And it's David Suchet, and he has a little mustache, and he's a little Belgian man.
Cool. All right. Yeah, good to know. So he offers him the shaft straightener thing, and the guy goes, well, you know, back in the times, this probably would have been traded for a loincloth or something like that, or could have been. And he goes, what's a crotch-sized piece of leather go for these days?
I thought that was disgusting.
And Hank goes, I certainly do not know. Oh, yeah. So funny. Hank then goes, an Indian friend of mine said it was sacred. And
this jack off is like, everything's sacred to Indians.
Yeah. And then he offers him like $10. And you are absolutely correct. He digs through the trash, gets the arrowhead when Hank leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy's a real dickhead.
He's a piece of shit. He's like... He's like Harrison Ford.
Like, because he's Indiana Jones?
Yeah. Like, but I think, like, that's definitely what they were going for. But, like, he's just no redeeming qualities, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Indiana Jones, no. But only when he's teaching, without the adventure part. Like, he's just digging up lawns and people's... Sorry.
Well, Indiana Jones did sometimes say, it belongs in a museum. You know? Yeah. He actually put
and things it doesn't. In museums.
That's actually, true. Actually, museums Indiana. Are kind of sus. They're very colonial.
Actually, that's not true, Indy.
Yeah, Indy, you're canceled. There was a funny thing Blake was doing for a while. He had a thing that could have gone viral, but he kind of just hated social media. But he was like doing these little videos of like various different like things. It was like, I don't know, like the Home Shopping Network or something. Somebody's trying to sell something, and then it cuts to him going, it belongs in a museum. Just whatever the fuck it was. Ugh.
I just saw Blake.
Yeah, I heard he rolled through.
He rolled into my karaoke night, yeah.
Cool.
I do. I host karaoke now.
That makes sense. You're kind of bored of being
caged. It's pretty nice. I like it. All right. The next scene.
Hank is fixing the mower and he's arguing with Peggy. Peggy said those artifacts were cultural. They could have expanded Bobby's mind. And I, for one, want his brain to swell up as big as it will go.
I knew you would think that was really, really funny.
it's so weird.
To swell up. It's like, what a terrible use of or a choice of words.
Yeah. But she's now decided that she's like, yeah, that's kind of her motivation for why she's mad that Hank pawned all this stuff. Now they're at the table. Bobby and Luann are eating fried chicken. They're eating a big bucket of fried chicken.
This is such a funny line.
They're picking the bones out of it. And Hank is like, are you eating fried chicken for breakfast? And like, no, we're making.
And Luann goes, no, we're making bones for Bobby's social studies project. We're making bones.
Yeah, I guess that is what you're doing when you eat chicken.
I don't know. I think you're revealing the bones.
That's true.
I like that she says they're making them and they're eating the chicken.
Luann is a poet. She says things amazing. Like that all the
so
time.
So beautiful. We're making bones for Bobby's social studies project. It's like fucking really, really good. I think that's my favorite moment of the whole show. Of this episode, I mean.
Yeah, that is really funny. She explains, one of them explains that it's a Native American necklace, like the Tonkawa War.
A Tonkawa warrior.
Oh, yeah. Let's see,
It's got like red beads and these short bones, like that would be like phalanges or something in the picture. So they're like using chicken bones.
Oh, right. Okay. And then Bobby sort of gives the plot away here. He says, well, I was going to show them that arrowhead and go to college. And then I would maybe go to college, but Mom says you sold out my future for $10. Something along those lines. There's a knock on the door, and it's like people with suits or nice shirts on. So Peggy says, I'm sorry, we're not looking for a new religion. It's assuming it's Mormons. And
it's the professor.
Yeah, it's the douchebag professor, archaeologist. He says his name's John Lerner, archaeologist, PhD. And then Peggy says, Peggy Hill, substitute Spanish.
Yeah, she says, I am also an educator.
Yeah. So that's she's going to be stuck on that for most of the episode. Trying to impress
this dude. In love with this guy.
He explains that there's a Caddo arrowhead that your husband found. And you are right there.
Yeah.
Peggy says...
I don't know what it is. It's a component to the chair.
Oh.
I'm just worried it's going to like go. I think it's okay.
Oh, you know what? Keep going. We'll keep rolling in case it does, because that will be podcast gold.
Yeah, it will be. That would be hot. Let's keep going.
Peggy says, so he explains that it's a Caddo arrowhead your husband found. Peggy explains, well, I am the person that first determined it was not a rock. She signs right away for the archaeologist to dig up the yard because he's brought like legal papers.
Yeah.
So that he can dig through the yard where the arrowhead is found.
She doesn't read them at all.
And he's like buttering her up. He says, I thank you. Archaeology thanks you. And most of all, I want you to thank yourself. Because he can tell that she likes to congratulate herself and stuff.
Yeah.
She says, I could never, which is really funny because she like constantly kind of does. And as they're walking away.
Thank you, Peggy Hill.
Right. And as they're walking away, the professor is like talking to his confidant and saying, the secret is to make them think they're special. Probably could have got the deed to their house. Real dick.
He could have. Peggy's dumb as shit.
Yeah. This is kind of sad. Hank, eventually he says, what was that all about? And Peggy says, nothing. My friend, the archaeologist, wants to poke around. She's like friends with him now in her head. Yeah. Of course I said yes. Hank's like, how could you do that without even asking me? And Peggy says, well, you sold the arrowhead without asking me, which is true. And Hank goes, fine, we're even, but I think you owe my lawn an apology. And he like stands up and gestures wildly. And then he goes,
what Peggy did is way worse.
Yeah. He's kind of got a point here. Also, this is like episode... fucking 15, and his lawn has been torn up. I think this is like the second or third time at this point.
Yeah, ants.
It's the only thing he enjoys in life.
Yeah, and cares about openly.
He gives her a, we're waiting. me and the lawn.
Yeah.
And as he's doing the we're waiting thing, Peggy just drives off, and Hank goes, you can't just think it. You have to say it out loud. And next thing you know, Peggy and Hank wake up early. That's their couple name.
That rule.
Like Bennifer.
That's how we have to refer to them now. Peggy.
Or Pank.
No way. No, we can't do Pank. It has to be Heggy.
Okay, so Heggy wake up in the morning early, and there's a sound.
Heggy, wake up. Heggy, wake up.
There's a loud sound happening, and at first they think it's like Dale's mower, but Hank goes, "That's not Dale's mower. That's not a mower at all." Oh,
it's a motherfucking backhoe.
Yeah, there's like full on.
And it takes a huge chunk out of his yard. And he goes, bull! And he's blowing into the window and it fogs up. And then he cleans it and then he goes, bull! Again.
Oh, that's so funny. let's see, there's commercial break. And then next thing we got. Boomhauer, they're all standing around watching the archaeological dig site happening. Yeah,
Boomhauer is reading the contract.
And he's like going, dangle heretofore thereafter, dangle resource code aforementioned antiquities, dangle pursuant to public domain. And then he says, I tell you, man, it's airtight. And Hank goes, I didn't understand a word you just said. Damn legalese, because he's saying I didn't understand a word, not in the Boomhauer sense, but in the legal sense. Very funny. Hank says, I never thought I'd see the day when my own government goes around stealing people's land. And then very wokely, Bill, who's standing there, says, if you think about it, Hank, isn't that what they did to the people that lived here before us?
Hey, that's the best Bill either of us has done so far.
I was gotten so nervous while I was doing it. I was like, oh my God, I'm doing it. What if I fuck it up? Just hold on.
Good job.
You know when you find an impression, though, you have to like hold on. Like, okay, what's my brain doing right now? Like, don't let it go.
Hold on. One more day.
Well, if you think about it, Hank. All right, I'm going to try and sit with that.
It had a sweet quality to it.
And he has a sweet quality to him because he is talking.
Oh, that's what I'm saying, bro.
Bill is doing a land acknowledgement. Wow, how 2024. Then something very 90s happens, which is a single tear rolls down his cheek and he kind of crumples his beer can and he walks away, which is a reference to that commercial about littering where the indigenous guy cries a single tear over littering. Paved highway doesn't seem to bother him in the commercial. It's the littering.
It's the littering. He's in Wayne's World too.
The guy from that commercial?
No, it's not the same actor, but there's the Native American guy at the end of Wayne's Stock.
Okay, that makes sense. There was that. That's one of those things that used to just be a bit that happened left and right.
I think a lot of TV shows and a lot of movies referenced it. I know it's been like animated a bunch, like Family Guy does it.
Yeah. It's funny how like a lot of that stuff is still around. Like one of them I notice all the time is the flash dance thing where she pulls the like bucket of water.
Yeah. People just know it as a reference. They don't even know where it comes from.
I've heard Dan Harmon had a rant about this on his podcast at one point where he blamed that on like the fact that studio executives get to make edits and they're all old fucks. And it's like, you're selling Space Jam to Zoomer children. They're not going to get the Flashdance reference. And I think he had a point, but the more they put it in shit, I guess people kind of still will.
Yeah.
Anyway, I divert. they're now
just stick with the classics, you know?
I don't know. You know what? This is all none of my business.
this is a very silly part. It's like Airplane or something. They dig up this hedge and Hank goes, oh no, my privacy hedge. And they remove it and it's the bathroom. And Luann is shaving her legs and she's like, hey, Uncle Hank, I hope you don't mind that I'm using your razor.
That is crazy that their bathroom has like a full body window to the outside.
And no blinds.
Yeah.
Just a hedge.
Yeah, a hedge was really doing a lot.
Yeah, so that hedge is working hard. Keeping your naked body covered from the neighborhood on the street.
Honestly, some bathrooms do have windows to the outside, and I always find it so weird. It's just a
yeah. At Jackson's choice. Bar, there's like a frosted window, but the other day I realized like you can totally see people like what they're doing in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? Like not like see it through the mirror, but like see what they're doing when they're standing at the mirror.
Yeah,
you can just it's not that frosted.
It ain't that frosted, folks.
It ain't that frosted, folks. And I was like, oh, no. I saw some dude, like, fixing his jacket. And I was like, you can fucking see in there? Anyways.
So the archaeological professor is like, go ahead. Or Hank says, I'll call the cops on you. He goes, go ahead. I'll tell them you're trespassing. And then Hank goes around with a clipboard.
On a protected archaeological site. And it's like, yeah. Shut up, bitch.
Yeah, I know. He sucks so hard.
I hate him.
But then Hank goes around with like a clipboard and he makes everyone sign their names.
And they all smile. Did you notice that?
Yeah, he can kind of tell that like what he's doing isn't working because he goes like, then don't give me any IP freelies or Seymour Butts. Which is like, of course they're going to. Those are, I think, Simpsons references.
Yeah.
And then he sort of declares, I'm going to do something that goes against everything I believe in. I'm going to sue all of you. Which is funny because it's like a bougie thing to do. He's not into. Hank then is talking to Peggy and he goes, you won't believe that idiot professor did. He got dirt all over my compost heap. Which I guess is bad.
Yeah.
Pank.
I don't know if that is bad.
I just said Pank accidentally. Peggy then goes, he's not an idiot. He's a genius. And that's as far from idiot as you can get before reaching madness. Crazy.
She's
line.
Obsessed with him.
That's insane reasoning. And she suggests that they invite him to dinner. Hank says,
he says the craziest thing.
He goes, what does he say?
Well, like, you know how like when in a sitcom or a cartoon, they cut in on the dinner conversation and he's like, and so I'm standing amongst these priceless artifacts thinking I can do better. And he's talking about like King Tut's tomb.
right.
And then he goes, and I did.
Yeah, he's explaining, and that's how I got my PhD or whatever. Right before that, though, something funny happens when they're trying to when Peggy's still trying to convince Hank. Hank goes, we don't need him to turn dinner into school. Peggy, dinner's one of the few things Bobby's good at. And then Peggy goes, he is good with the fork and knife. But he needs to learn the art of conversation and like drinking without a straw and all this weird shit.
Yeah.
Said.
Well, because he's drinking his milk with a straw.
Right. Well, this is before. This is like when they're talking. When she's talking into it, she's saying, "No, like we need to sophisticate him. He needs to learn how to do adult stuff, like drink without a straw."
Which is what she was trying to do with the PBS.
Yeah, that's just this weird kick that she's on for some reason this episode. So the guy explains that he got his degree, his PhD at the University of Chicago. And Peggy says, that's one of the finest schools in the country. And Hank goes, they don't even have a football team, which I don't think is true. but it is a nerd school. It's where they trained like the people, the right wing guerrillas that overthrew Salvador Allende in Chile to install a right wing government. And they trained them in libertarian economics there. Chicago school is bad. Or at least it's just school of economics, at least. Apparently there's like a statue of Moloch somewhere on the campus there. And it tracks that this guy went there because he's a dude.
Yeah, this piece of shit. Wait, is this the part where I just have this note here, but Bobby notices that he's wearing a bracelet, like a beaded bracelet, and he goes, ah, man wearing jewelry, like on PBS.
Yeah. And the guy explains, like, oh, it's not.
This isn't jewelry. Yeah.
It's a like a bracelet. It's a Kato bracelet. It's a replica. The original is very fragile, and it's a replica of the one that he got on like his first dig site. He says the first one is very fragile. And also, it doesn't go with this sweater.
That's a weird joke. I remember that. I was like, okay.
He's explaining that it's not jewelry. It's like a badge of honor in the tribes.
It's a warrior's bracelet or something.
You like give it to a girl when you go out to war and stuff. He also explains this game called Chunky, which is like a form of, you know, football like game to try to like make a conversation where you play with discs of stone. And Hank is getting like really annoyed with all this. So he goes like, yeah, that's kind of like aloha. You know, it means hello and goodbye. Well, aloha. Like,
and goodbye. He kicks him out with the old aloha.
Yeah. Now they're at the dig. There's like a field trip happening, and the douchebag is explaining, if any bony hand tries to grab you, please remain calm.
And the kids freak out, and then he repeats it like he's serious.
Yeah.
It's a weird joke.
And then he says, who can tell me who's native to this area? And Peggy says, the Kato.
Sheepishly.
Right.
It's weird the way they animate it. She looks like really weird. She's like, please pick on me.
And she's like, she wants his approval, but also she has to mispronounce everything. So she says the Kato. And he goes, that's exactly right. And when he says that, he puts his hand on Peggy's arm and Hank sees it
through the window.
Yeah. Now Pank or Heggy is now in bed. Watching TV or whatever. Hank has been in bed. Peggy gets in bed and he goes, you missed action sports and half of action weather. Peggy's like, Bobby and I have been in the yard digging things up. He knows his cat didn't run away now. It's funny.
That is a funny one.
What did I miss? And Hank goes, there's another new soccer team and a 30% chance. There's another new soccer team and a 30% chance of rain. I was doing Peggy's voice. And she goes.
And she's like, oh, well, I better go tell the professor.
Because he has the top down on his sob.
For this professor.
Yeah, she really is. He is kind of justified being a little jealous here, I think.
Yeah.
He has the top down on his sob. It's nighttime. All of a sudden, these stadium lights kick on outside. And Peggy's like, oh, these are great. They're just like what the Cowboys use. Now, this is a weird point. See, we've been tracking this. Does Hank like or dislike the Cowboys? Here, he says, the Cowboys would, the Cowboys would treasure them or something. He goes, the Cowboys would treasure my lawn, not, or, yeah, okay, he just says.
Not turn it into some kind of freak show.
Yeah, I don't know why I couldn't get through that. But the Cowboys would treasure my lawn, not turn it into some kind of freak show. Peggy now says, oh, this is good. Bobby has a roll bottle now. Really? Come on. You try to piss off Hank Hill? He says, I'm his role model, not that bracelet-wearing egghead.
Yeah, it's a kind of hurtful thing to say.
It is a little, Peggy.
For a mother to say to the father, to Hank. Because, usually she's very caring about that and like trying really desperately to get them to hang out. So it's kind of out of character for her to cut him with that one.
Yeah, she is a simp.
But that's what you get with all the different writers, you know?
True.
Like weird little inconsistencies like that.
Yeah, and it serves the plot, you know?
Yeah, it just keeps it fun, Jake.
Peggy says, I think we could benefit from spending more time with him. I better go warn him. His sob has leather seats. Yikes. So now the archaeologists.
They don't make sobs anymore.
Do they not?
I don't think so.
I'll never get one now.
Well, we'll never get one for the show.
Oh, yeah. We got to make a Patreon tier for that.
to get a car. Can we get an aquatic car?
That'd be fucking cool. Yeah.
Like that we could drive around and we could drive it into the lake.
But it's like only one. We have to share it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Patreon goal. Please sign up for our Patreon. It's very funny.
Jake and I want an aquatic car.
It'll help the show.
We'll record the podcast from the boat car.
From underwater.
And the motor will make it unlistenable.
Yeah.
Okay. The archaeo trolling, and it's like blah, 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 blah.
Sorry. Yeah, they would just die. Hey, the archaeologist and Peggy are now brushing a bowl. Peggy's like, I bet it's a clay pot or something. And he's like,
He's like, no, it's a ceramic bowl. And this is another like, fuck you, bitch. Like, fuck off, dude.
What is the goddamn difference? Eventually, Dale and Hank are talking, and Dale goes, I know what you're thinking. Every once in a while, a guy suspects his wife has feelings for another man. And Hank goes, that's not what I'm thinking at all. I'm thinking about cheese logs to protect his feelings. But it's funny because Dale's like, he's saying that. Meanwhile, his wife is getting railed by John Redcorn. He goes, Nancy's going to Corpus this weekend for some kind of migraine workshop. I'm suspicious as hell. Good thing John Redcorn's going with her to keep an eye on things. Man.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Such a cuck. Hank is... This is a real weird scene.
They, like, speed away in the Jeep again.
Oh, like, yeah. And that song, Feel Like Making Love.
Yeah. Da-da, da-da, da-da. I feel like making love. Feel like making love to you. Who the fuck is that?
I love John Redcorn because he's always listening to, like, a hair metal.
Yeah, dude. Him and Boomhauer. They love to rock. Yeah.
Hank is now in the garage. This is a real weird scene. He's in the garage, kind of in the dark, just building something. Tim Burton-esque music is playing. He's wearing a welding mask. For some reason, Bill just wanders up into also in the garage. Really unexplained. He goes, what are you doing? He goes, you got possums, and explains, like, you know, when I got possums, I slip a little arsenic in there. Something happens with chick. Oh, there's also a chicken bucket. There's chicken buckets all over this episode. And Hank
he's using the bones to make a necklace so that he can trick the professor into thinking that he's found an artifact. But then if they were to analyze it, they would find it was chicken bones. So it would embarrass him. And he's like looking at pictures of the necklace, like in one of Bobby's books or something. But when Bill says that, Hank is like, well, Bill, that would be murder. Because he tells him he just slips a little arsenic in there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a person.
Oh, right. Because he's saying, I do that with my possums.
Yeah.
You should do it to him. And he's like, that'd be murder. Anyway, so Bill goes, I mainly just know about possums. I'm losing them.
He's like Bill Murray in Caddyshack.
Oh, you know, I've never seen Caddyshack. I need to watch that shit.
What?
I know, man. I don't know. I've seen it by osmosis. Like, I've seen parts of it a million times.
And yeah, you are going to be like, whoa, everything Avery has ever said to me was from Caddyshack, man.
That's probably going to happen. That's why it's like I've been putting off so long watching it.
You know when I say, ahoy, Polloi?
That's from Caddyshack.
That's from Caddyshack, bro.
I just think it's from Avery, and it's also funny.
No, I guess that's the only thing I saved from it. Oh, and I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. And also, the way I get into an Irish accent is by pretending to be the Irish girl that Danny almost knocks up.
All right.
But you haven't seen it, so you don't even know what I'm talking about.
I'll
but
our listeners do. When I watch it. Our
listeners do, Jake.
I bet they all do. I'm the only person in the world that hasn't seen this. You're they the only watch.
Motherfucker.
I'm gonna watch that and The Godfather in the same day and update my.
That is a sick ass day, dude.
That does sound.
You should
cool.
have a big sandwich.
Yeah, it feels like something you would do on like Thanksgiving or something.
Yeah, get a big old sandwich and some chips and like a can of root beer and watch motherfucking like a fucking apple with some peanut butter. Like, do like a real wholesome day and just watch those two vastly different things. Which one are you going to watch first?
Probably Caddyshack. Well, no, actually, The Godfather, because then Caddyshack will be like a nice palate cleanser after, uh-huh. like, after my mind is blown, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
And then your mind is going to get blown again by Mr. Rodney fucking Dangerfield.
Oh, all right.
So funny, dude. Okay, moving on. We're almost done.
We're almost done. Back to the show. This does end rather abruptly. Hank is sneaking... And he buries the necklace he made in the site. And he looks over and sees Bill standing with the chicken bucket and a beer, giving him a thumbs up. Yeah.
He's like, hey.
Now cut to daytime. The archaeologist is digging in the dig site. And he looks up at Hank standing at the top of it. And he's like got the sun behind him. You know, he's like backlit. Yeah. He's all intense looking. And he's trying to explain to him, like, oh, you haven't any luck? Have you thought about digging over there? And, like, really just lays it on way too thick, trying to get someone to go dig where he left the necklace. But you look over there.
Peggy's over there.
Fucking Peggy's over there. The archaeologist, so she finds it, and then the guy makes her explain what she thinks it is. And she says it's a Tonkawa necklace made out of finger bones. The guy goes... Let's find out what it really is. And he has his students examine it. And they say, you know, it's a bunch of chicken bones.
They clock it. They're like, yeah. This is chicken bones and kite string.
Yeah, it's like it's been scuffed up on purpose. Some kind of saw.
Yeah, with a bandsaw.
And he totally humiliates.
Or not a bandsaw. Peggy. What did she say?
I can't remember. Some kind of saw, though. Or like a buffer or some shit. I don't know.
Or a grinder.
He like specifically he's specific about what tools and stuff are involved to be like an expert about it and expertly humiliate everyone involved here. But he humiliates Peggy, and then Hank steps in realizing his plan has backfired, and he says that he made it and he didn't use kite string. I used, as I put this in all caps, baling twine, because he's all pissed off. And he has to say some obscure thing from Home Depot every episode. And Peggy's like, it's not enough to think I'm stupid. You have to make me look stupid. She feels like Hank caused this, and it gets very sad for a minute. And Hank goes, I was trying to make him look stupid. You're the only one around here I respect. And Peggy realizes, you were jealous. And Hank goes, no, I was just mad because you were spending all your time with that guy and I wanted you to spend it with me. Jealousy had nothing to do with it. It's funny because he's like describing jealousy.
Jealousy.
Yeah.
Oh, Hank.
Then Peggy is like also exactly like him because she starts crying and she says, I have something in my eye, but I am also crying. She can't just be crying. The guy starts laughing at them and he sort of says, isn't it funny? He's got kind of a Michael Douglas thing going on here. He's like, I could have scored with your wife for the price of the
bracelet. The Michael Douglas thing. I could have fucked your wife, pal. Buddy.
I was thinking about that fucking Mike McCray joke.
Mike McCray's impression of Michael Douglas is out of fucking control.
It's so funny. It's
diabolical.
It's so funny. So Hank starts pushing the guy back into the hole every time he climbs out of it, and he just gets
stuck in the loop. So funny. He's like, I see what you're doing here, big man. All right. Hank pushes him again.
Yeah, and then he's got his family with him, and he's just pushing the nerd back in the hole.
And then Peggy pushes him.
And then Bobby joins in.
Yeah, he goes, clearly you're stronger than me. And Peggy pushes him.
And the he at one point he says, you'll get tired of this long before I do, which is the Stinger quote. So the one of the last things that happens in the episode, because the episode just ends, it fades out on this. Yeah. One of the this is a really weird thing to pull for the end of the credits quote, because it's the last thing that's said kind of before the credits. You know what? I'm not going to tell these people how to make their show. There's technically no rule against that. Yeah, that's the episode. Here's a little bit of trivia. This is the first episode where Dale is seen as clearly bald under his hat, which is consistent with the remainder of the series. In previous episodes, he's shown to have at least a small amount of hair on the top of his head.
Like a little tuft.
Yeah.
No tuft. No more tuft.
Or like a comb over, I feel like he had sometimes. This is also the first episode. It's very bald. It's very funny that he's a conspiracy theorist and he's like hiding the fact that he's bald. It's just he's a contradiction, you know, in so many ways. This is the first episode where Jonathan Joss voices John Redcorn after the death of his original voice actor, Victor Aaron, in 1986. I didn't know that.
Whoa.
Yeah. Also, I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hank comments at the professor's alma mater. Okay, yeah, I said all this stuff. So that's it, I think.
That was it. That's what, when I said earlier, I was like, it's a short one. That's what I meant. It just like fucking ends.
It's the same amount of time, I think, as the episode, but it just
they just do the thing where they wrap it up in the last minute, you know?
Yeah, that's a thing that like happens sometimes on The Simpsons too, where it just abruptly fucking stops. And becomes kind of, it's kind of like accepted in animation for some reason, I think.
Yeah.
It always throws me. It's just like, bam, it's over, you know? One thing happens, all of a sudden, the Hills are a family again, and then whatever.
Yep.
It's cool with me, though, man.
Cool job, guys. Burger.
Oh, yeah, Burger.
And Abel.
That's the episode. Thanks for listening. Join our fucking Patreon. It is insanely funny. We read King of the Hill fan fiction. It is always the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I love it.
That's patreon.com/IDKYpod.
Woohoo!
All right. That's it, I think.
Woohoo!
that's it, I think, Hank. Is that him? Did I get him? I don't know.
A little bit.
All right, later, fucker.
It was better earlier.
Yeah. It was so weird. I was doing it. I was like, oh, my God, how am I doing it? All right, all right, all right. We're done.
Bye.